Sweet is Louisiana Pure Cane Sugar. We're Cane Radio, AM 1240.
Yeah, you're right. Nobody's worried about me or Boxcar.
I'm worried about you.
Hi, I'm Teddy.
I'm worried about
Boxcar. We're
starting a GoFundMe account for Teddy for his dental work tomorrow.
Okay, so. Don't go there.
Poor thing. He's lost about 50 pounds over the last week.
Well, I'm feeling spry.
Yeah.
Anyway, you tune in to Cane Radio's Chip Shots. We're going to go over our local stuff, of course, but wow, what a weekend for a third major championship in the golf world, the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. We'll go over that and thoroughly.
Yeah, I really enjoyed being able to watch it with you yesterday. That was,
it was a lot of fun.
And it's hard to believe. It seems to me like we should just be in the middle of the golf season now, and we're almost over. You know, we've got about seven more weeks left, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Which, that stupid wraparound season, which I hate. But anyway.
You don't hate it. It just, you're not used to it yet. But, you know, they still need to tweak it because, truthfully, football season is right around the corner. And then the golf season, to me,
it's
totally
dead.
Ends in.
Right.
Then they come up with this FedEx Cup stuff. And I don't know. They need to tweak the whole season. They need to start it earlier.
Well, the FedEx Cup's fine. I mean, just reduce the number of tournaments. I mean, I don't know, because it should end whenever FedEx.
We're getting off on a tangent here. But
no, I know.
They need to move the PGA to the spring and do it in right
yeah.
with it, along with the TPC and the Masters, and then end the major season with the Open, like the British Open,
right.
And then do the FedEx Cup.
But to me,
Cup
I mean, you shouldn't. You shouldn't have two majors so close together. I mean, you've got the British and then, you know, the Open, and then you're going to have the PGA
right.
in 2 weeks. You know, I mean, that's...
Right, that's a little jammed up.
It just creates like a cluster for the players to schedule, you know, and then you got guys that they're not going to play for 2 weeks because they want to rest up for the next major.
Right,
you know?
and then they throw in there the WGC, the
Firestone,
which is
to guaranteed money.
Right, especially for the FedEx Cup and your points and all that.
Right,
stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm confident they'll continue to tweak it, you know, and get it right so that we'll all enjoy it because, like you said, the golf season ends for me and for you as well probably with the PGA Championship. So,
like I said, the only thing I would do maybe, and again, I know, but hey, look, our show, we don't have to have a format, right? We could talk a little bit.
We're going to go bizarre first and then do the local stuff.
So here's what I would suggest, okay? Be traditional, you know, but at some point you got to think outside the box like the RNA has been doing with some of their stuff this year.
Right.
All right, you know, until you get to football season. Then in football season, why not start your tournaments on a Monday or even a Tuesday and end on a Friday?
Okay, there you go.
And now you got golf, you know, during the, you know, I mean, there is football technically on Tuesday nights and all, but it's crappy game, college games that nobody really wants to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the football, they're trying to tweak it as well and expand their program. And so, you know, they would take second place a golf tournament.
So just don't go head-to-head with them, you know, but you're not on Saturdays or Sundays, you know. So you got college, you got pro, you know, and got your golf also. And you can end your traditional season when it should end, like in November, you know, and then start in Kapalua in January. You don't have to have all these, you know.
There's a lot to be said about that, and I'm sure they'll look at it. But you know, I mean, it needs to be done, and I think they've addressed the fact that they have a problem that, you know, people are not listening; their ratings are down during football season. So
yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to happen. You know, it just takes,
and that's why they came up probably with the FedEx Cup to simulate, you know, the playoffs in basketball, football, baseball, whatever.
Yeah,
World Series, whatever.
And the ratings actually for that have grown a little bit each year, you know, so it's been.
And then, Boxcar, you throw in the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup every other year into that mix.
Right.
And that confuses it even more.
And we do have the President's Cup this year.
Certainly.
You know,
and by the way, where is that?
You know, I saw it today, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It escapes my mind, but.
All right, so now we're
And I didn't take my phone down, so I can't do the Google.
Google?
No Google. I'm sorry.
Poor Google. He was ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Certainly want to thank our sponsors before we move way too far along. The Coca-Cola Company, Mr. Lee Tadford. And by the way, I don't know, you probably don't know Lee, but in the new lifestyle, or the latest lifestyle, they have a picture of his wife, one of the 10 best or 12 best dressed. In,
oh, okay.
She's a nice-looking lady. But
I saw that.
Mr. Lee Tadford,
that
graduate
issue.
Of Catholic High School, okay. You know, way back in the day. And he sponsors, well, Coca-Cola sponsors, but he is the instrument by which we sponsor, get our sponsorship from Coca-Cola, and want to thank him for certain. And Cecil Email, Andrew Sharbert, we thank them for donating all those Tabasco golf shirts that we give away here periodically when people are tuned in and Boxcore has the urge to give away a shirt. We do that. And then, of course, our golf club, Squirrel Run, Spanish Trail, and Sugar Oaks, and our big company down in Lafayette, golfballs.com. They've been advertising on the Golf Channel.
Yeah, they sure have. And you know, one day I'll get up the nerve. I haven't been that bold yet to ask them how much it costs for one 30-second commercial on the Golf Channel.
I wish you would.
Well, I will. But
I'd love to know the answer to
but
that.
I just haven't been able to bring up get the moxie yet, you know. Mm-hmm. One day when I have a little liquid courage in me on a Saturday afternoon, I might walk in there and talk to them about that. But
Do you think they know that the like the guys the
oh
the
yes
medium level?
Well the one well the not the medium level but the one I deal
like
with would,
GF3
no well even if he knew he would never disclose it. He's like a Russian spy. You can't get anything out of him. Name, rank, serial number. That's it.
That's it. Huh?
I could, you know, I'm sure Andy would share that with me. I would not blab it over the radio, but I mean, you know, you and I could have a good little compare it to Kane Radio's rates. But might be just a little bit higher.
I don't know how you would compare that comparison. That's not like apples to oranges.
No.
Or apples to banana. That's some other thing. Maybe
yes.
Like a grain of sand to the moon.
I don't know. But anyway, just goes to show you, you know, just how well they are doing, just to be able to you know, even think about doing that, much less doing it. And not only doing it, but it is they track all this, you know.
Right. All the
computers.
More reason to go shop there.
Right. I mean, they try.
They got so, that moxie.
I mean, they see whenever the commercial airs, they track traffic in the store, you know, afterwards. And it's very, you know, it's been very successful, that campaign, you know. So, yeah, I mean, by far the largest golf retailer in Louisiana and really most of the South. I think I heard it was 20,000 square feet under roof. And if you've never been in there, what you'll find is the, you know, unbelievable array of not only golf clubs. I mean, that's the first thing you think of with a golf shop, but the apparel line is really second to none. And you know, we kind of talked to Andy a few weeks ago about that, you know, about who was maybe moving the needle now, because, you know, since the Tiger Woods, and I'm not sure if Tiger really. I really still debate whether or not he actually. I know he didn't sell many Nike golf clubs because their clubs really were not that good. But he may have sold Nike golf apparel at some point in time. Mm-hmm. But of course, Ricky Fowler with the Puma was real popular, and now Jordan Spieth and Under Armour is really kind of taking off. And I really expect there's going to be a strong interest in the shoes that he was wearing yesterday. That Under Armour logo was very prominent on the outside back part of the shoe, and so it's, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, who becomes the next face of golf and who is able to sell merchandise and I think you will see a little spike in sales of Under Armour goods. So, but they have all that. They have Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, you know, all the top of the line stuff. The thing that I'm most excited about with football season coming up is that they are the officially licensed outlet for UL. So they can put the UL logo. They don't have to go through any NCAA stuff or anything. They can put that logo on anything that you want, whether it be a golf bag, golf shirt, golf balls, whatever you want to do. That logo, that Cajun logo, can go on there. They also have some nice LSU stuff as well as Saints. And, of course, they can really custom order or custom make anything you want. If you happen to, you know, be a Dallas Cowboys fan, they got that stuff. I mean, so just a great selection of golf clubs, golf apparel, sports apparel, and you know, the customization part of it, where you can have custom golf balls made within 24 hours for gifts and whatnot. And all that's just taking place and creating a lot of local jobs too, Teddy. When I walk in the back sometimes and I go, you know, because the restroom's way in the back, but and I always make that visit when I go there.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, I guarantee you, you know, 90% or more of the people working in the back don't know a thing about golf, and yet, you know, they're you know, doing the logo golf balls, doing the caps and all that stuff, and creating the shipments to go out worldwide. So, you know, not only do you have a company that's thriving in a difficult economy, but also creating local jobs as well. So that's always well received. They're on Arnold Boulevard, which, in case you're not familiar with where that's at in Lafayette, just go down Johnson Street like you're heading toward the mall. It's going to be on the right-hand side, right where Piccadilly is. It's next to Harbor Freight Tools, just past the Grand Theater. They're open from 9 to 6 Monday through Friday, and from 9 to 4 on Saturdays.
Hey, and since we're on the subject of advertising, you know, the business we're in, I was, as we watched the Open together, I was pretty pleased with that new concept they had with playing through, where they played the commercial on the right side of the TV and they kept the live action on the left side. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I think that's a great concept because, like I was telling you as we were watching, it's going to keep people glued to the TV more so than if they just blared the commercials, because
right,
people usually leave to go to the bathroom, get a drink, or, you know, whatever right, they got to do. And it's easy to leave during a commercial. You know how long commercials last, basically
yeah,
3, 4, 5 minutes, and then you're back to the action.
Right.
And maybe they should do that with football and basketball and all the other
yeah,
sports as well.
I wonder,
great concept.
Yeah, I just wonder how many people actually were paying attention to what the commercial was on the right hand side.
You know, I caught myself doing you know, that, because it's like you hearing that, but you're not seeing, you know, you're not
yeah,
hearing the golf commentators, which to me might
oh,
be
oh, God,
a
it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Oh,
maybe
gosh,
they should just put quiet TV and just put
oh,
the commercials on all
man,
the time.
Man.
You know.
You and I were talking about that.
Combined radio, yeah.
Yeah, that, they're way over the top with their.
And by the way, I mean, it's a great concept of them having the mics on the caddies and the players, you know, where you can hear the interaction between them. But golly,
yeah,
commentators, shut up. Don't talk over
right,
them.
You can't hear it if they keep talking. Right. We
right,
you know, I'd have loved to have, you know, hear all the interaction between Jordan and his caddy when they were discussing that drop and everything else. And,
right,
you know, we only heard just a couple of words because that, you know, whatever you think of the guy's name, he said, the lead
Dan
announcer,
Hicks,
he just could not shut up to save his life. You
yeah,
know, I mean, you know. And then all you need to do is just, you know, encourage Johnny Miller a little bit, and he's going to kick in high gear, you know. So the best announcers are the ones that know when to be quiet. And it's true, and it's not me, obviously. But think
you're
about
working
some of,
on it, though.
Think about some of the great football announcers of all times. They just, you know, they don't go over the top. They know when to shut it down and let the crowd reaction, roar, or whatever, tell you what's happening, you know?
Sure, sure.
And, but, yeah, I did think it was a good concept, especially in golf, because so often what we get in golf, because the action doesn't stop. You know, there's no timeouts, you
no,
know, things like that. So they go from one tee to the next, hit their shots. So when they come back from commercial break, we're usually seeing something happen on tape, you know, and then next thing you know, they're hitting their second shot, which, you know, they didn't get to their ball that fast, you know. So
right,
it was cool to see everything happen, you know, in real time. You know,
and plus the advertisers getting a benefit because we're staying glued to
the TV, right?
And if you're not watching that commercial, you're hearing it, and
yeah,
it was a little distracting, and you had to, you know. But
yeah,
but I think it's a great concept.
Well, I did too. I think, especially in golf, I think it works really, really well. And you know, we'll see how.
You know,
that,
and as we were watching it. And we were complaining about the announcers talking over, you know, the commentary with the player and the caddy. I was thinking of that game where they played a professional
oh, yeah,
football game with no commentator. You know, I mean, maybe they ought to do that with golf sometimes, you know? I mean, have a segment where there'll be no – you just watch.
Well, in golf, you honestly, you don't need – to be in all – you know, now I like football commentary sometimes, you know, to a degree. I mean, some of the great announcers, better for radio than it is for TV. But that game itself was kind of weird. I'd actually watched that. It was Oakland Raiders and – I want to say the Cowboys.
Miami, maybe?
Maybe so, but it was...
I remember watching it,
it
too.
Was a little...
It was eerie.
Yeah, it was disturbing.
Yeah.
But in golf, you can figure out what's going on. You know, now, I guess if you had a weird, you know, thing like what happened with Spieth yesterday, maybe somebody should break in and, you know, and stuff like that.
Right, break
but
in.
What we don't need to hear is, you know, Roger Maltby saying, oh, he's got 7 feet, should break about a ball, Johnny.
Right.
You know, oh, that broke more than a ball. You know,
right. You sensationalize.
Yeah.
And overanalyze everything.
Right. Yeah, we can see the putt. You know, we know. I'd much – would be a lot more enjoyable would be to mic up the player and caddies.
That's just what I was going to say.
And just
mic
don't have
them
the,
up.
Yeah, mic them up, and we don't need announcers.
No.
And, you know?
And they could, like you said, come in at times, cut off their mics, and give us whatever, you know.
Yeah.
There's a ruling on 15 and blah, blah, blah. You know,
but
I mean,
that would be awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, really,
you know. Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, as long as you have the 7-second delay to bleep out some of the stuff.
Well, they'd have to train the caddies and players.
Well, I think in the heat of battle, sometimes they might, you know, but that's what those delay buttons are for.
They could do the same thing as far as I'm concerned with, you know, the referees and football players. I'd love to hear some of the trash talk that goes on between referees, football players, and stuff in a football
game. Well, a long time ago, and this is one of the things, when I growing up, I mean, I used to love to watch the Pro Bowl. And it's like that's the worst possible professional sporting event probably because it means nothing but the football Pro Bowl. But they would have both teams mic'd up. And so you heard the play calls in the huddle, which to me was just fascinating. You know, I was like, wow, you know, that's so cool. You know, and all the stuff. And
the ordinary sports fan would love to hear that.
Yeah.
Know? No, or just the talk on the sideline when a player comes off or a team comes off and the coach is trying to encourage them or whatever. Man, that. Anyway, let's get back to
Nick. Nick Saban would never go for that.
Oh, no. They couldn't pay him enough money to go for that. All right, back to golf, real golf, local golf. Anyway, had the chance to get down to Squirrel Run, I mean the Spanish Trail. Well, Squirrel Run as well, but Spanish Trail first today. And, you know, I mean, golf's kind of down in our area. Not only because of the rain, but the economy and everything else we've always talked about over the past. But, encouragingly enough, Spanish Trail is having their club championship, which most golf clubs have this time of the year, in August, right before football season. So they're going to have it on the 26th and 27th. It's going to be 36 holes, medal play, gross and net prizes awarded in each flight. The entry fee is $45. Entry deadline is the 24th at 5 p.m. Tee times will begin at 8 o'clock both days, and this is pretty good. Players will play from whatever set of tee boxes their handicaps establish from. Seniors and ladies are 65 and over may play the red tees if their handicap is established from the red tees. You know, and that's an important point, a point that we all should, you know, kind of, like with me in the Pro-Am, I tee off from the tees I establish my handicap at because I just think it's fair that I continue to do that. But at some point in time, I'm going to have to transfer over to the closer tees.
Right.
But then what happens to my handicap?
You have to reestablish.
Right. It's not going to be fair doing that reestablishing period.
Yeah.
So it's a point that needs to be at least addressed or looked at. And not necessarily for our little tournaments, but you know, overall and generally,
but I just
in
wonder,
a big tournament like this, it should be.
I wonder how they.
How
do people
adjust for that?
Well, do people when they turn in their scores designate what set of tees they played from?
Well, like with the handicap system, the Louisiana Golf Association, they have a course rating for each set of tees.
Right.
So it's your scores is projected onto that course rating. It may not necessarily be the par, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, it's handicaps persnickety.
Well, they'll never be fair,
right.
You know. It's always, you know.
Right, never be fair. Okay, and also at Spanish Trail, ladies area play, a pretty big tournament that goes around our kind of like our pro-ams alternates around on the golf courses in our area. thus it's called Area Play. August 8th, Tuesday, the entry fee is $30 for non-members with $10 for players with courts, $25 non-court playing players. 9 o'clock shotgun start, and handicaps must be called in by August the 6th. And Gary told me they haven't aerified their greens, and they're not in the best of shape, but they needing to do that. Their new superintendent has been struggling trying to find a window between the rains and such to do that. Then at Squirrel Run, golfnow.com is a place to go if you want to get a big discount. You can book online with reduced prices. And speaking of reduced prices, if you want to be a member at Squirrel Run, they're offering a membership for $100 a month. That's like $40, $50 off their normal price. It's for 6 months. You get $100 a month, but it's an annual membership. So the second 6 months will go up to their normal price. And they say it's a $30 saving, 30% savings on the normal monthly dues. We offer a large variety of driving range, putting green, and complete lunch menu. And greens are in excellent shape. So right now is the time to join. If you want to get a big, big discount on a membership for the whole year, your first 6 months, only $100 a month.
And I can attest to the greens part, because they did their aerification, got theirs in a few weeks ago. And, heck, I mean, there really was no transition period. Right after they did it, they seemed like they just, I don't know if they got lucky or just, you know, really felt enough sand or whatever it was. But it healed up quickly. It healed up very quickly.
And like I was telling Gary, it's a double-edged sword, you know, or a vicious cycle. You know, the greens are compacted, so you need to get some oxygen down into the soil profile so the roots will start to grow. But then if it's too wet, you can't do that. But then if you wait, and it's not going to dry up, it's going to get worse, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I tell you what.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, no, it's been really, really rough this spring, with summer on the golf courses. Golf courses and car washes, I mean, they've been closed, you know, probably half the summer, you know.
Right.
And what's been so weird is it's still so spotty, because it can pour down, you know, at Squirrel Run and Spanish Trail, which are pretty close together, and not rain a drop at Sugar Oaks, or vice versa, you know.
Sure.
And
like we know, it's been wet because we're struggling trying to cut our grass in between the rain showers, you know.
I know.
All right. Also at Squirrel Run, they had the USSA Kids Tournament, and winners from that this past Sunday was the boys 6, Carter Bork with 46. Boy, 7 years old, Hayden Ami continues to win, 39. He shot. Boys 8, Noah Chauvin with a 40. Then the girls, age 8 and 9, Corrine Mandel, 61. She's from Lafayette. And girls 12 to 14, Connie Landry with a 105. And then the boys a little older, 11 years old, Connor Casino, 78. Boys 13 to 14, Zach Hardy with a 95. And Luke Baudouin. Bart Baudouin's son and Bert's grandson,
right,
shot 41 and won the 9-year-old.
That 78 was a 18-hole score.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, better put him on Theo's radar.
Yeah, you know, and I went out last Thursday. That's when Drew plays in this little wetlands league, and Bart, what's his son's name? Luke. He's on that team along with Coach Benny Dronette's grandson. So, you know, there were three granddaddies there following him around. And I'm telling you, they had this one kid, and I forgot his name, but this kid's moxie was just, like, unbelievable. He was so mature for a 10, 11-year-old. The way he handled his address and his pre-shot routine and all that, you could tell. And when he swung, I told Theodore, sign him up now. No, really. He could play.
It's too bad. Yeah, golf can't do like football and offer scholarships to 10, 11-year-olds. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, not that young, but I mean, I think LSU once offered somebody in eighth grade. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Then down at Sugar Oaks, the Gator Golf Clubs, with, of course, stems out of Sugar Oaks. Thanks, Boyd, for Boyd Booty for getting me this information. They played, let's see. Golly, I threw away the wrong paper. I have the old one here. They played at Atchafalaya, and doggone it, I...
You still got Kasadi Pines.
Yeah, I still got Oak Wing. Yeah,
the Oak Wing. That's right. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll get it in a break. When we take a break, I'll go get it out of my recycling.
I can go in the trash.
It's in recycling. If you want to go get it, should be. And it looks like this boxcar, you know. All right, but their next event's going to be at the Bluffs at St. Francisville coming up this week, and they're excited about that because that's an awesome golf course. It drains well. Of course, it's on the Bluff, the old Mississippi River bank. And, you know, their golf club is suited for the rain because it drains so well. I got it, boxcar. I had it hidden behind the other one. So results from Atchafalaya, and that's the course that they made up their rainout time a couple of months ago. Jim Welch won the first flight with +7, and then Elvis Babineaux +3 won the second flight. Third flight was a tie between Richard Fleming and Tony Viator. They were +5. And the fourth flight was a three-way tie between Mitch Gaspar, Bo Provo, and, yes, Boyd Booty, the CEO and president of this. And so thanks, Boyd, for all the info here. And then, once again, the Bluffs will be their next outing. And speaking of next outings, the Community First Bank Pro-Am will be August the 3rd at Abbeville. I'm not sure what they call it anymore.
Vermilion Oaks still? Yeah.
I don't know.
It's still Vermilion Oaks.
It's in limbo.
Unless somebody buys it before August the 2nd.
Yeah. All right. And then also at Sugar Oaks Twilight Scramble, Wednesday, July 19th. Fish Fry was donated by Mr. Jim Frith. They played the back nine, and the tiebreaker hole was number 13. First place went to Paul Olivier and Ron Cuckoo Gary. They won $25 each. Second place, Mark Ami and Cheryl Granger with a 40. I don't know what they got, 50, 40, and 20. 50 is more than 40, so they shouldn't have
won.
That's
not how much they won per team.
It's $25 each, 20 and 10.
Yeah, and 10.
But they have third place 20, second place 40,
yeah,
and first place 50.
10, 20, and 25 each.
Oh, okay. It's not their score.
No, God, no. Okay. No. Whew.
All right, and we talked a little bit about Mike Heinen showing up at UL's new facility that Theodore showed him and a friend of his through. Well, Mike's going to be participating because of his win in 1994 in the Shell Open and the British Open. That's the British Senior Open, which will be played this week in Wales, just south of England. And congratulations to him. I hope he does well, but he needs to get in shape, I tell you that, to walk those 18 holes. You got anything else?
Well, if he's going to do well, he's going to have to walk 72. So
well, 18 at a time.
You better get in much better shape. No, I mean, nothing else locally, Teddy. You know, excited to talk about the Open Championship.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned. We got a lot to talk about.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
We have a new player on the field and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola. And the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center features 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear and is the largest golf retailer in Louisiana. While it lasts, check out their summer clearance sale, where you'll find marked down prices on shirts, shoes, clubs, and more from brands such as Callaway, Bridgestone, Under Armour, and TaylorMade. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and of course online at GolfBalls.com. We're in your bag.
Louisiana's own, Louisiana's gold. Kane Radio, AM 1240.
Hammering, nobody but about me. I ain't got to give And welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Sliman in the air chair along with my friend and colleague Ralph Boxcar Bergeron. We now turn our attention to the most important tournament. The British Open was completed, the 146th. Well, they call it the Open. They don't call it the British Open because it includes more than just Great Britain. The tournament itself, 146th scheduling of that tournament. And, wow, what a worthy winner in Jordan Spieth, and what an exciting tournament. I was watching a little bit box score on Golf Channel, and all the commentators just about agreed that it was the most thrilling and exciting finish of any major championship that they've ever witnessed. And you and I got to do it together.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do that. And, you know, I'd have to go back and look. I still thought Nicholas and Watson's duel in the you know,
sun. You know, you say that, and so did Jim Prejean today. But both Jack and Tom alluded to the fact that they thought that last year's with Stenson and Phil Mickelson was more thrilling,
really,
the duel, than each of them said that in a tweet.
Wow.
Or Facebook, whatever you want to call that stuff. But you know, I mean, this one was to me, and those guys are like much more exciting.
No, that was me.
Oh, I thought I heard a noise.
Yeah, you did. It was a squeak.
Anyway,
the chair.
It's objectionable, but
yeah.
Nonetheless, it kept you glued to your chair, and the feeling I had because I was pulling so hard for Jordan was like watching an LSU football game.
It was
gut wrenching.
Yeah, I mean, you and I went through and we were both pulling for Jordan, but it was just a you know, it's just a despondent feeling early on when you just felt like, man, Masters debacle, you know, is not exercised from him. You know, he still has those demons, and but we both agreed, even his coach, swing coach, I read today an interesting article because he said he felt just really helpless. He just kept wondering, was there something I missed in the warm up session? And his name escapes me right now, but
Cameron
McCormick. He said, you know, but he couldn't get close. The crowds were so massive, he couldn't even get close to the ropes to try to talk to Jordan or see what was going on. But he said, you know, he could sense, you know, that he was just fidgety and nervous. And it was, he said, really, the bogey on 13 was like his Adderall, which is the medication they give to kids that have ADD, you know.
Right.
That somehow calmed him down. And his caddy, Mike Geller, said that's the best bogey I've ever seen. And you know, you and I, you know, I was wondering out loud, honestly, that could have been anything. It could have been
any other person. I think it would have been,
you know.
But to your point, let me quote Jordan. He says, "I put a lot of pressure on myself, unfortunately, and not on purpose. Before the round today, just as you were saying, talking about, just thinking that this is the best opportunity I've had since the 16 Masters, which he blew," he says. He goes on to say, "And if I weren't to go my way today, then all I'm going to be questioned about and thought about and murmured about is comparison to that." In other words, choking again.
Right.
He says, "And that adds a lot of pressure to me. Closing today was extremely important for the way I look at myself."
Right.
Those are astounding words to me.
No, and you could see
truthful,
it.
Truthful, but astounding.
Yeah, yeah. And I was watching SportsCenter earlier, too, while I was at the gym, and they made an interesting point that in like a five-hole stretch, he went from being possibly labeled as a choker to now an intimidator because, you know, now other guys will question, can I finish it off because he can come – you know, in this last five holes and come roaring like a freight train, you know.
Exactly.
And that's what he did with, you know, like you said, arguably the greatest finish in major championship history. And
to play the last five holes in five under par. And,
yeah.
You know, and just breeze by poor Matt Kuchar.
Who did nothing wrong.
No, he had two birdies, you know, except for that last hole. He had two birdies, you know,
yeah.
and played flawless, really.
Right.
I mean, he had to go for it on the last hole to try to make a two or three because –
yeah.
You know, anyway, we jokingly, at least I feel jokingly, pull against Matt Kuchar, but you know, I really feel bad for the guy now, 39 years old. I'm thankful Jordan Spieth won, but, you know, I feel the despondency that Matt Kuchar feels.
Yeah, and Spieth kind of alluded to that in his, you know, comments after accepting the claret jug. I think he genuinely felt bad for Matt Kuchar as well. But, you know, again, this is what these tournaments are all about, and it's not necessarily the, you know, although both those guys, from all accounts, are nice guys, you know, you always want to pull for the good guys, so to speak. But I was just blown away by, I mean, it really was like going on a ride at Disney World with a roller coaster, and because the lows were so low, and I was just felt like, oh my God, this is really happening. It's a train wreck, and that train wreck, you know, became, you know, just a glorious you know, ride at the end, and it was great to experience that.
To me, that 13th hole was a turning point for Jordan because it showed his maturity. Is they always saying his golf IQ is above everybody else, and we compared him to Tiger and Jack as far as his mental prowess. But the way, and here I'm going to quote you what his caddy said about him in that situation on the 13th hole when we got a little aggravated because it was taking so long, but right. It was because of Jordan Spieth. He says, we've only been out, and this is Mike Grella talking, we've only been out here 5 years, but he's been in big enough situations with the greatest pressure to know to slow down. And that's what he did. Because when you get nervous and anxious, you start doing things quickly and without thinking them through. And he didn't, because of his mental ability. And that's what separates him from all the other golfers out there. Include anybody out there right now, he's got them beat mentally.
Mentally, and I would say, you know, if he putting, for the most part, you know, he did struggle, missed a few sharp putts yesterday, but he's still, I think,
that was one of the first yards.
I think one of the best rollers of the rock overall that we've seen in a long time since Tiger, you know, in crunch time. But I totally agree. I think, you know, in retrospect, maybe if he had just gone hit a normal drive on 13, ends up hitting the green, he might have three putted. That would have been a totally different. This bogey was an energizing bogey.
Exactly.
You know, and so
it was like it was meant to be.
Yeah.
It was like destiny.
Yeah.
Because he was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde after that. He poured it on.
I mean, he almost, like you said,
a freight train.
Just his
by Matt Cooper.
Yeah, just his swing looked different. His he almost aced the next hole. I mean, you know, he just calmed down. You know,
right.
it was amazing. But a very special win and a lot of, you know, a lot of historical meaning to that win.
Yes.
You know, he now becomes the youngest guy, you know, to win up three different majors before the age of 24. Now, he's going to be turning 24 in a few days, but that's also the third leg of the career Grand Slam. And
so he and Jack are the only two players
to win,
before turning
24. Three different majors before the age of 24. And if he does win the PGA this August, he'd beat out Tiger Woods as the youngest player to complete the career Grand Slam. Only five players have won that, while 16 different players have won three different majors. But what's really interesting is how efficient Spieth would be in reaching that point. Considering the players who have won three legs of the Slam, Spieth would be the second fastest to do so in terms of majors played, needing just 18 majors to win three. Now, just think about it. He's played in 18 majors. He's won three. And he should have won two others. So, I mean, when you think, that's incredible, you know.
They got a stat. I don't know if you have it or I have it or what, but he's led for the time since 2015, I think it is. Let me see if I can pull that up. He's been in the lead or tied for the lead more than Tiger or Jack combined at that point.
So, like
Michael Grella said, they've only been out there 5 years, but he's been under that pressure a lot because he's led so many times at so many rounds.
Right. But it took Jack 16 majors to win his three, and Byron Nelson did it also in his 18th major. But just think about it in historical perspective. It took Phil Mickelson 84 majors to win his third, And there was a 9-year gap between his first and third. So, you know, at the age of 23, soon to be 24, now it becomes a debate again. You know, is he the best young player on tour? And again, when we talk about where he's at, counting the number of starts, I don't think it's any debate. But, you know, you do have to temper your enthusiasm just a little bit, given that in recent years we've kind of coronated Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson both as being, you know, the next dominant players on tour. And you know, Rory really until this tournament really has struggled. And Dustin Johnson, you know, really fell apart as well yesterday. But, I mean, we've seen the kid now, Teddy, for a few years on tour. And we, you know, you and I saw him in one of his first pro events, really, in New Orleans
right.
In his rookie year. And, you know, watched him hit one ball in the lake, and that was about it, you know. And you commented how bad his grip was. And yet, you got to admit, he probably gets the most out of his physical talents as anybody on tour, you know.
Well, like I just said, and like they talk about,
right,
he can be compared with Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods when you're talking about brain and golf IQ,
mm-hmm.
and mental toughness and discipline and maturity and all the words you want to use to describe winning the game mentally. Now, physically, he can't compare with Jack or Tiger because he doesn't hit it as far. Now, he does have that ability, the will, the ball, and the whole putting like Tiger Woods seemed to do
yeah.
on occasions. You know, Jack yeah. Nicklaus was just a great putter.
Yeah.
And like Jack did on the 17th and 86 at the Masters, that ball
right.
went in the hole. It's like he willed it in.
Well, I think he willed in that putt that we thought was going to stop on the lip. I forgot which one it was. Jordan, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That reminded me of
yeah.
Tiger Woods right there. That
yeah.
intimidate. You know, it's like you're taunting with your opponent and then you crucifying. But, you know, and he became the only player to shoot, and Raul Burkdale has produced some awesome champions, but he's become the only player to win shooting all scores in the 60s at Raul Burkdale. And, by the way, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Johnny Miller, Tom Watson, Mark O'Meara, and Paddy Harrington, former winners of the 9 times they've had it, Peter Thompson in the beginning. But I think it's pretty fitting and ironic. You know, Arnold Palmer won his first U.S. Open in 1961 at Raul Burkdale, and this is the first year without Arnie, and they host the tournament there at Raul Burkdale. And in my humble opinion, I think a new king has come upon the scene in Jordan Spieth. He's not a god like maybe Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods was looked upon, and maybe their record, and certainly their record dictates that. But he's lovable. I think he's the new king, you know, above and beyond the Rory McIlroys, Jordan Spieth, Jason Days, just the list goes on.
Yeah.
He's got that something about him that everybody, and it's just, he's so normal, you know.
Right.
He's, like he's talked about, ADD, you know, he's nervous
yeah.
and fidgety, and he's just a normal guy.
Well, I think, and you know, you think about it, that probably, you know, I know he said this many times, you know, growing up in the environment he did with his, you know, sister who's handicapped and having, you know, I think that has kept him grounded, you
yeah.
know, to a large degree, because he could have easily got the, you know, a big head at a very early age. I mean, he was playing in pro events at 16, you know, qualifying and all this. And he could have been another one of these Thai try-ons or these, you know, child
yeah.
prodigies that go by the wayside. But he does have a different level, you know, of moxie. How it's going to translate long term, you know, who knows? You know, hopefully he'll just keep what his strengths are, because it would be easy with someone who has the flaws that he does have to start looking for answers and start tinkering with his swing. And I hope he doesn't do that. I hope he just remains Jordan
yeah.
Spieth, you know. I was thinking about that yesterday,
yeah.
Teddy. I hope, boy, you know, I just hope that whoever stole the Under Armour hat from the locker room at in in New Orleans is real happy, because he's probably got Jordan's autograph on it and worth a lot of money now. And that should have been for the Cecil E. Mail tournament. But, yeah. You know, I'm not going to hold any grudges.
You know, what I think the only thing that would hold him back is an injury or something to that effect. You know, Tiger Woods, the injuries, obviously, are what ended up, you know, getting him. And by the way, golf is moving on just pretty nicely without Tiger Woods. But an injury to Jordan Spieth could really, you know, hurt his career. I don't think he's going to tamper with his swing. He's got a unique swing. It's individualized. I don't think his caddy's going to let him get off tangent in any way, shape, or form. Like he says, he's got a great team. You know, yeah. His manager and all that surround him are going to keep him grounded, along with his faith and his family. And, you know, I just think he's going to continue to plug along. Now, I don't think he's ever going to approach what Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus have done. You know, but
and that's what I'm. I think
he's going to be in the likes of a Tom Watson.
Yeah, 9 or 10, maybe.
Gary Player's got 8 or 9.
Who knows? You know,
majors.
I say that, but you know, I mean, like I said, he really could have 5 already at 23,
right?
With just and not one of them should have definitely had for sure. And at St. Andrews, you know, I mean, he
could have had that.
You could have had that one, and so. Who knows? This is a good quote from Jeff Ogilvy. He 2 years ago he said at St. Andrews when Spieth was trying to win the Callender Grand Slam, he says, quote, "He beats you with better golf. He doesn't beat you because he hits it further. Tiger's intimidation was that he always did something amazing. Jordan doesn't beat you with a crazy par or a crazy chip in. He just beats you because he's better." And Ernie Els even went on to talk about the prospect of him reaching 14 majors. He said, when you get on a roll like he does, guys kind of start knowing that you know how to win. And almost like Tiger, where people can maybe feel like they can't do it against Jordan because he's been up there a few times now. So when you have the ability to close the deal, you do kind of earn that respect factor, that fear mm-hmm. factor on tour, and maybe he is getting that. And you know, when that happens, that eliminates a lot of people before they tee off. You know,
right? It does. Well, how do you think this is going to affect his peers, like his close, tight knit players, like the, you know, Justin Thomas and
Ricky
Rory
Fowler,
yeah, Ricky Fowler and a few of the others that Smiley Kaufman was one of that group,
right?
You know. But how do you think it? You know they're pulling for him, but don't you think it's going to change how they approach the game?
Well, it should. I mean, you know, because look, they at the end of the day, they're French golfers. Period are unique because you know our little group. Even we're all friends off the golf course. When you get on there, you want to win that $6 so bad,
sure.
You know. So they should even strive, because I'll bet you most of the time in friendly games or whatever, they can go head to head with Jordan Spieth, you know, all the time. Okay. Mm-hmm. But in a major, he has a different level. Okay. So Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Smiley Kaufman, you know, they should aspire to let that, you know, hey, look, I can beat Jordan a Tuesday game. I need to do it, you know, when it counts now. And
so it's going to put a fire on them and get
it
them
should.
To be a little more dedicated to practicing and playing and achieving.
It should.
Social media is great, but all you see about them is partying on a barge or
I know.
Having a good time with the hats turned backwards and girls all around them.
Yeah, and that's what Butch Harmon got on Ricky Fowler's butt a couple of months ago and said, you need to quit being a Kardashian and be a pro golfer, you know,
right.
Because, you know, the way you're living right now, is that's, you know, the social medias and all that. That's fine, but I mean that's what your reputation is getting to be. Michael Geller also pulled out a photo, and it was Michael Jordan and Michael Phelps,
yeah.
And along with Spieth, and they vacationed in Mexico just a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
and at some point during the round he pulled that picture out and said, "You see this?" He said, "You belong in there. You belong in greatness." And
you're as great as these guys,
you know. And
hopefully that's
that was.
Pretty more.
Yeah, so, you know, tell you what, you talk about, you know, a lot of times we talk about caddies being just a bag toter, you know, keep up, shut up. But in rare occasions, rare instances, and this is one of them, they really are a teammate, you know. And I thought that Bones and Phil, you know, was the same way, you know. And I was sorry to see that go by the wayside. Which, by the way, I want to say, I thought Bones did a great job.
I do too. I like his perspective.
Yeah, yeah. He can.
We better take a break.
Okay, all right. Let's do that.
Yeah, we'll take a break and then we'll wrap it up. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chip Shots on Kane Radio.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
TheGolfBalls.com Retail Center features 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear and is the largest golf retailer in Louisiana. While it lasts, check out their summer clearance sale, where you'll find marked down prices on shirts, shoes, clubs, and more from brands such as Callaway, Bridgestone, Under Armour, and TaylorMade. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and of course online at GolfBalls.com. We're in your bag.
There is always a need for agricultural information. There's always a need for grain and cattle quotes. And there's always a need for being aware of how that weather is going to affect your workday. QT Market Center has a toll-free telephone number that may be very important to you when you need this type of information every day. 800-240-8761. When you need that information and realize that you have to wait until you return back home to your computer for news that might be too old to take advantage of, that's when you call 800-240-8761 and subscribe to QT Market Center. You can access all that very focused, up-to-date news, plus quotes, and weather at your fingertips, on your desktop, or on your smartphone and tablet. No matter where you are, no matter what time of day it is, you can access QT News, our real-time commodity news feed, the Resource Center, our database of historic reports, charts, and analysis, and QT Media, our leading group of commodity professionals streaming right to your device, and the weather throughout the day. 800-240-8761, QT Market Center.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
We have a new player on the field and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola. And the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Kane Radio, AM 1240, the voice of the Tesh. Now you're tuned in to What's Happening.
All right, welcome back to Chip Shots, our last segment. Boxcar, there were some other players that played in that tournament that did pretty well, right?
Absolutely, Teddy. It was really one for the record books, you know, not only with the way this finished, but literally a record was broken in the Saturday round. In the previous 442 majors that have been played, Masters, U.S. Opens, Open Championships, and PGA, the lowest score ever was a 63. It had been done 31 times in the 100 of thousands rounds played since the initial 1860 Open at Prestwick. But Brandon Grace of South Africa broke the magic mark with his Saturday 8-under 62. And the amazing thing about that, and something that we could all learn a lesson from, is he had no idea that he was about to break history or shoot a 62, because he didn't know where he really stood in relation to par until he holed out on 18. So that's pretty neat story there. And also, Sunday, we got to witness a special round also from China's Haotong Li, who put up a 63. That moved him 26 places up the leaderboard into third. And Haotong Li, just to go to show you how far he come in a few weeks, a couple of weeks ago, his mom had to fish his putter out of a lake when he threw it in a lake in a Web.com tour event. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy finished strong, too. You know, there's no solace in finishing tied for fourth when you're trying to win. But that 67 in the last round, with that poor drive out of bounds on 15, he could have been 65, and he could have finished a couple of spots higher. But disappointing for Dustin Johnson, shooting 77 the last round, and along with some other players, you know, like Sergio and Jason Day and Adam Scott, Justin Rose, all those guys kind of not making any moves this year. So it's kind of peculiar.
Yeah, it's really been weird, and I know there's some, you know, I mean, Jason Day, I know, has the issue with his mom, and I don't think he mentally is into it, and Dustin Johnson hadn't quite been the same since he fell, you know, at the Masters, but I really can't explain what had happened to Rory this year but he did have a good showing, you know, but he's only played like 12 events on the PGA Tour this year. He hasn't played much. And he had missed a couple of cuts in a row. Just seemed to be out of sorts, but it was good to see him playing well again. Do want to mention before we get out of here also on the there was an opposite field event. The Barbasol Championship was held in Opelika, Alabama, at Auburn, where Auburn plays football. And after missing the weekend cut last week in the John Deere Classic, rookie Grayson Murray won his first PGA Tour title, hold a 5-foot par putt on the final hole for a one-stroke victory. But the note that I was kind of excited about here was that former LSU star Sam Burns, playing as an amateur, shot a 5-under 66, and he finished only three shots back at 18-under 266. Burns, who was an All-American and the 2016-2017 College Player of the Year, shot rounds of 68, 66, 66, 66. And Smiley Kaufman, another former LSU standout, finished six shots back, and he was 15-under 269. So a couple of nice finishes there for some LSU Tigers.
Grant, great, 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 great. Appreciate y'all listening in. We got to go for now. Louisiana Network News is up next.
In the shadows of the Tesh, KANE Radio, AM 1240, New Iberia.